different word. I can't think of what it is.
Primates.
Primates. Yeah.
The homo primates.
I don't think it's homo primates.
Yeah, it's just primates, you stupid idiot.
Airing every day from noon to three.
But we're all, like, part of that. Well, depending on what you believe. I mean, that's a whole different thing. But, like, just, you know, characteristically, like, we're all part of kind of the same, same thing. Like, we're not apes, but, well, I'm not going to get into that. Anyway.
Are you about to go theory of evolution?
No.
Is that where this is ultimately heading?
No, I don't want to go there. It's just that we all have very similar qualities. The opposable thumbs and the... So I think we're all apes, but we're not all monkeys. Like, you and I are not gorillas. Although, wouldn't you love to be...
On 1340 WKGN.
Help me out here.
Can I get back to talking about Coach Mack?
Sweat, baby, sex is a Texas drought. Me and you do the kind of stuff that only Prince would sing about. So put your hands down my pants and I'll bet.
Hour three kicking off in the White Claw Studios. This song always makes me laugh. Hour three headlines. Draven, what do you got for us?
Sarah Fuller. You guys heard about her. She was the big headline from the weekend,
Fuller,
making history. And she has been announced as the SEC co-special teams player of the week, after becoming the first woman to play in a Power 5 conference football game. So the accolades keep coming for her. She's not going to be on the team the rest of the year, right?
Or is she going to be?
Okay. So I was curious about that.
After she gave them all lectures and embarrassed them, I'm like, nah, you can't be on this team anymore.
Kicking her off.
I don't even know if she wants to, but yeah, I was kind of interested if she's going to finish the season with the team or what the situation was there. But
I mean, she's got to be the only Vanderbilt player to get an award this year, right?
Probably. I mean, I can't imagine anybody else doing anything special.
She's
so going to
hit a game
season winner
on this, isn't she?
Yeah, I can't wait.
I mean, I'd imagine she wouldn't be the starter if she's on the team, right?
No, because did she come in because of an injury? Is
injury
that what happened?
And COVID.
That's
like a mixture.
Yeah, so they had no kickers left. Right. So like,
kicker, I hardly know her.
So I was kind of curious about that, but we'll see. But yeah, she was named SEC co special teams player of the week. Speaking of the SEC,
people were so mad about her. I was so
it is weird.
Just
why
by the constant arguing, like, just, I hope she gets drilled. And then other people act like she's the most, you know, heroic person ever. I'm just kind of like,
I would like to see her get hit just for the content. Twitter would have been having fun with that one.
She got off that field quick as soon as she kicked that ball.
I was curious what would have.
I was hoping she was going to try and make the tackle.
What was it about? I mean, I just don't understand why so many people just wanted to see her get rocked. I mean, like, it's just.
Whenever
I watch other kickers, I'm not like hoping they get rocked.
That's true.
Except that,
I don't know.
Except that fat kicker from Penn State that would always try to hit
people.
Oh
yeah.
And then it came out that he had like a body What was it they called whenever you hate your body?
Not body shamed. That's somebody else hating your body.
Body shaming is what people do to other people. But he had like a body
insecure.
I want to say dysphoria, but I don't feel like that's right. But he basically just had problems with his weight, and then I felt bad because everyone always talked about him being the fat kicker, which he was a fat kicker, but.
I mean, you had to know that was coming, though, when you're...
Especially when you're out laying people down and trying to make it a thing. But maybe it was him just trying to mask his insecurities.
You remember when that Baylor kicker got, like, eliminated off the face of the earth on that one hit? Oh, what was it? I think it was, like, a bowl game. They, like, blocked his kick or something, and someone just leveled him.
I don't remember that.
Oh, man. It's kind of what I was hoping to happen. Twitter would have the field day.
Poor Sarah.
I like the people saying that they wanted to see the Antonio Brown play. We kicked him in the face.
Jeez.
That's just too much, man. Poor Sarah.
She's just wanting to go out there and
just kick.
Give half
make history
speeches.
And just be a leader. And I mean, it's been good for a brand.
Yeah, oh yeah.
She's gained a lot of followers.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's got, like, professional soccer aspirations.
Apparently she's pretty
good,
right? She
could go play in Europe.
Yeah.
They pay him out there.
Anyways, speaking of the... SEC, they have planned to determine and announce its schedule for the football games for December 12th and the 19th on Friday of this week, December 4th. So they're going to have kind of the schedules, kickoff times, all that stuff coming out later this week. So we'll get to see when we get to play good old A&M, good old Vandy as well to cap off the year. Exciting stuff there. Also, going back to the NFL, I want to ask about Chicago Bears and Matt Nagy. You see Nagy kind of calling out the players and coaches. You see what's going on. Have some personal
pride. What type of job security does he have to be able to do this?
That's what I'm asking about, honestly. I mean, is this the beginning of the end to Matt Nagy? Like I said.
No, the beginning was like 4 games ago. The beginning of the end was probably.
I mean, they were 5-1.
The beginning
at one
of the
point.
End was, I guess, the beginning of the end would probably be trading for Nick Foles. The climax as a coach. So, like, do you consider the beginning of the end to be like after the right after the climax?
Yeah. Most likely.
I mean, technically,
that's when the action starts going down.
Technically, you're at the peak, and then it's the beginning of the end. So, technically, the climax was the double doink.
Mm.
That was the climax. That was the peak of the Bears. Boom, here's this kick. Double doink. Okay, we lost. And it's all been downhill from there. That was the beginning of the end, technically, I guess.
Well.
But, I guess, is that the last move of him, like, to call people out in the media?
I mean...
Trying to like challenge their manhood, like challenge their pride.
That's basically what it was doing. Going after mainly the players, basically saying they got to have a little bit more pride.
I would just be like, oh, you got to have some better plays, coach.
Yeah, and you went and got Nick Foles. It didn't work out. You still thought, they still believed in Trubisky at the beginning of the season. That hasn't worked out. So
and then he goes,
does it become a coaching problem?
I mean, we can all agree, like, he's not very good, but Trubisky's better than Nick Foles, right? That offense seemed to have a lot more life with Nick Foles than it did.
Yeah.
Or with Mr. Trubisky than it did with Nick Foles.
Yep.
Right?
I think so.
So, panicking and putting in Nick Foles just because he's Nick Foles, like, it didn't help anything. Like, Nick Foles made one good throw.
Why did they not get Jameis Winston?
Of the year?
I just feel like Jameis Winston would have been the best. He was 10, or even Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
I mean, both those guys are better.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
The only way they could have done worse is by, signing Mariota.
Cam's not looked great. I don't know if Cam would be much better.
I think Cam's better. I think Cam's better than what they have.
Maybe the running element. I don't know.
I mean, like, let's not. I mean, like, look, I'm not caping for Cam, but like, that Patriots offense is pretty crummy with talent. It's pretty devoid of talent. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have a lot of good players. So like. Allen Robinson would maybe be the best wide receiver, best skill position player that Cam's played with. Not skill position player, because I guess he did play with Christian McCaffrey, but best wide receiver he's played with since Steve Smith.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
You know what I mean? Like, I would like to see what a quarterback could do with him, because Allen Robinson is really, really good. Either way.
What do you think about that graphic they put up last night with Mahomes and Deshaun?
What was it? I didn't watch a second of that game last night. I had no interest.
It was something about how Aaron Rodgers had the best passer rating in the league for like 13 years straight, like for a career, and Watson passed him on Thursday because you had to have a minimum of like
so many
1,500, something like that, and then Mahomes passed him today or yesterday.
Oof.
And then they're like, trying to take a pot shot at the Bears.
To me, the worst graphic was the career leading in the career leaders interceptions on the Packers. Like, they had a couple guys over 500, and then they get to the Bears, and like the wide receiver with the most catches for the Bears, like in their entire franchise history, has like 370.
Jeez.
Like, they've never had a good receiver. Like, they've never had a productive receiver.
They really haven't. They had Brandon Marshall for a minute. I mean, in the last couple decades,
I mean, Brandon Marshall was probably there for like 3 or 4 years, though, right?
It wasn't
that
long. Him and Cutler didn't get along.
Yeah. No, I thought him and Cutler were boys, I thought. They played in Denver together. I thought that's why Brandon wanted to go to Chicago.
Maybe it was.
I think he is the only person that likes.
I just feel like I remember them yelling at each other on the sideline a couple times.
If he would have stayed another year, he probably would have broken the records. He had 118 catches and 100 catches in the 2 years in Chicago. And his last year had 61. So, I mean, Brandon Marshall might be their best receiver of all time.
That's crazy.
Like, he really might be. But Mark Nagy, like, you're just kind of like, I mean, that's the cry of a guy that's on his last leg, in my opinion. Like, I think that he knows that he is going to get fired if they don't turn this around. So the last thing you can do is call out your players publicly and hope they take it seriously. But the better chances are they are going to turn around and not like you and not play hard and tune you out, and you'll get fired in a couple weeks.
Man, that 12-4 season does feel like forever ago. That playoff run wasn't even a run. I mean, they, like you said, they lost first game. But still, just winning the division, being as good as they were, feels like forever ago.
Was that to the Eagles?
Yep. That was to Nick Foles.
It was to Nick Foles.
Got him.
That's why they got Nick Foles.
Yep.
How many people are getting fired this year? I mean, Gase.
We got, what, two maybe. Already, right? We got Quinn. And Patricia already, right?
Yep. And O'Brien. Yeah.
O'Brien, so three. Yeah. So the three that we thought were going to get fired have already gotten fired. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that after the break. Let's dive into that. Because, you know, obviously in college we got guys too. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Jeremy Pruitt in his press conference today. How's this for a quote?
Oh, boy.
I can assure you, we want to score on every possession. It's not like our plan is to go out there and score 17 points.
Really? Huh.
Well, no way.
That's positive.
No way.
Well, that's a good transition into coaches who are going to get fired at some point. In the NFL, we got what? We said we already have three. So the three guys we thought were getting fired this year
are gone.
The three guys with the best odds. Well, no, that's not true. Three of the four, because Adam Gase is still holding on. They're going to put Adam Gase out to pasture after an 0-16 season because Adam Gase deserves to go 0-16.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
They want to make him. Gus Bradley got fired too, right? So we've already had four firings, right? Didn't he get fired from the Jags? Or no? Is that just their GM that got
their
fired?
Their GM got fired.
So they haven't officially fired Bradley, right?
They said the coaching staff was safe.
For the rest of the year. For some reason, I thought that was like, I'm saying the interim staff. But never mind. That makes sense. I was like, wow, they're saying the interim
staff. I didn't even know he was the coach. I thought Doug Marone was still the coach.
Doug Marone is. Oh, Gus Bradley used to be the coach. Either way. Sorry. They're all the same. They're the same person. They're the same person. My fault.
Is fired.
My bad. Okay. So Gase and Marone / Doug Bradley are safe. So I guess not every coach that we thought was on the hot seat is gone so far. But we have had Bill O'Brien get gone. Mm-hmm. His offseason moves is basically what got him fired. And then the team came out and quit on him and didn't want to play for him. Romeo Crennel got the boys playing well. I really hope he plays
the future.
I really hope he plays himself into a head coaching job. The Falcons got rid of Dan Quinn. And the
Lions got rid of Patricia.
Lions finally got rid of Matt Patricia. So who does that leave us with? Because I think Gase is getting fired.
Anthony Lynn, please.
Anthony Lynn will get fired.
He should just get fired for not forget about what he's done the whole season. He should get fired for what he did yesterday.
It's so,
time management yesterday.
It's
he should
so,
get fired.
It's so sad because they do seem like they play really hard for him. And that to me is the hardest when you fire coaches that like the players still really like and you can tell like they are playing hard, but he's just not good. You know what I mean? Like
just a complete idiot.
Like it's not even like they're supposed to be really good and like they're just not meeting expectations. Sometimes that happens. Or it's not even like they're going through a rebuild. You're like, hey, we're going to fire this coach because we need a young coach because we're going to rebuild. Mm-hmm. They're in a position like where they have a good roster, but they're also putting in a rookie quarterback. So like it's not like they're supposed to win a bunch this year. But at the same time, they probably could be a playoff team if Anthony Lynn just wasn't a moron. But he's just a moron. In every game, they either blow a lead or do something dumb. So I'd be shocked if he doesn't get fired and they give Herbert a good young coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who else are we looking at? I think Gase is going to be gone. I think Anthony Lynn's going to be gone.
Vic Fangio? You think he's gone? This is, what, his second year?
Yeah, right? I feel like Elway will give him a third year, but like
If I was them, I would go ahead and pull the plug on that one.
If I'm them, I'm firing John Elway too. That's the tough part is like if Elway fires him, like Elway might not get to make the hire. Because Elway like hasn't You know, he got the Super Bowl, but like
it's saving his career.
But we all know that was like Peyton, and like we all know that like you lucked into Peyton. So I would say Fangio probably on that list, and I do think Gus Bradley / Doug Marone will get fired, just because they're going to clean house and like do a complete overhaul. Like, the new GM will get to hire a coach, and Jacksonville does have a lot of talent and a lot of draft picks. So, like Jacksonville might be one of the Jacksonville might be the premier destination this year, which is crazy enough as that is, but like.
Yeah.
You know, AFC South feelings aside, I think it's a pretty good division. It's not like the easiest, but it's like middle of the road.
I mean, Colts are going to be in limbo with a quarterback after this year.
And the Texans.
Texans are a mess.
Yeah, and the Titans, you might look at that roster and say it's getting older or whatever. I don't know. You might feel like that's a division we can win.
Yeah.
But also, like, they got a lot of cap space. They got a lot of draft picks. They got some good young players.
And low expectations.
And low-ish expectations, I guess.
I still feel like Houston's a better job, though, with Deshaun. If you're an offensive-minded coach.
I disagree. I would rather have Justin Fields than a $35 million Deshaun Watson with no good players around him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying Justin Fields is better than Deshaun Watson, obviously, but I'm saying, like, I would rather, if I get the number two pick, then I can draft Justin Fields, and that's my guy. Low expectations. I got 2 years to get good. The only thing I have to do in my first year is establish a culture and make sure the quarterback doesn't get hurt. Mm-hmm. Which is what Brian Flores, you know, he's done that good in Miami in terms of establishing culture. They get the quarterback. He hurt his thumb, but he's okay. You can't do what Zach Taylor does and, like, have your franchise quarterback blow out his knee. To me, that should get Zach Taylor fired. If I'm Cincinnati, I am firing him, but maybe they won't.
And they're saying that's like a Teddy Bridgewater injury, too.
I've seen some people say that, and I've seen other people say they expected me back at the beginning of the year. So I don't know. Well, I don't know. I think it was Zach Taylor himself saying they expected him back at the beginning of the year. So I don't know.
Oh, he probably won't be there.
I expected him to be back at the beginning of the year, but I ain't going to be here. Cue the Magic Johnson. I ain't going to be here. But Jacksonville, I would rather go to Jacksonville than Houston. Just personally, I think I saw Jacksonville has 12 draft picks next year or this upcoming draft, including two in the first round, and two in the second round. Because they got the Rams first round for Jalen Ramsey.
Pulling a Thunder on us.
Yeah, and pulling the Dolphins basically.
Yeah.
And they too can go out and get the quarterback. Now Mike Glennon looked pretty good yesterday. Actually, he looked pretty competent. I'm going back to Minshew Mania or the what was the other guy's name? Sounds like Glutton. Yeah. That doesn't sound like Glutton. Maybe I'm putting him back in because Glennon came a little bit too close to tying that game up at the end of the game.
Yeah, he did.
As you just talked about that, Hayden, Ian Rappaport just tweeted out that Joe Burrow is headed out west to have reconstructive knee surgery on his ACL in Los Angeles. He is expected to make a full recovery. So I think that the Teddy Bridgewater stuff might have been a little premature. I think that was just a worst-case scenario fear, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then you look at college. I mean, like I said, in the East, you've already seen South Carolina and Vanderbilt make the commitment. Like, hey, pandemic be damned. We're going to fire you. Is anybody getting fired in the SEC West? I mean, I feel like obviously Kiffin's safe.
I guess.
I mean, Leach is
going to
be safe.
I feel like he should get fired, but yeah.
I think they have realized that Leach is probably not going to work out there, but they're not going to fire him after 1 year, especially during a pandemic.
Yeah. Jimbo, probably Jimbo's best year he's had there.
Yeah, Jimbo's not getting fired. They're top six in the country. I could go off the rails at the end, but they'll be full. I think they're going to be 7-3 at worst at this point.
Yeah.
And they're going to be Tennessee. So, like, they're going to go 8-2.
I don't think they're going to fire Ogeron.
No, I don't think there'll be any firings in the SEC West.
Not Gus.
He would be the closest, I think. Ogeron.
Gus is in a weird situation where, like, don't we have to pay him all $21 million of his buyout immediately?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which apparently whenever Tennessee extended Jerry Pruitt's contract, they gave him that same clause that he has to get his money up front too.
Oh, great.
Which that makes me less happy about the extension. I didn't know that whenever I was defending it, but that makes it a little bit tougher. But again, money's not going to be the issue. If you fire a coach, if South Carolina comes with the money, if Vanderbilt comes up with the money, although who knows, maybe they had Derek Mason working on a year-to-year contract because he had already been there for 7 years somehow.
I just feel like Vanderbilt has more money than Tennessee, though, with the private institution and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah.
For football? For athletics? Mm-hmm. Like, because they ran through their budget by doing a new facility. Like, remember they hired that AD and he immediately blew through all the money?
Building his new office.
Building, like, his new office and, like, doing all that stuff. Like, they immediately ran through all the money. I don't know how many, like, I'm sure Vanderbilt has rich donors, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, what their companies are. Like, I know here we have, obviously, Pilot and Dish Network, and we have some people with a lot of money. But I would just imagine if you go to Tennessee, you care more about football than graduating from Vanderbilt. Like, I don't know how much money they are pumping in to try to be a football school. And I know that South Carolina doesn't have more money than us.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, have the same, like, football aspirations. But you look at those two coaches, they're gone. That's probably it in the SEC unless they've run Pruitt. Which, who knows? There's still work to be done. This is a big game, I think, for Tennessee this weekend.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, like the Florida game, I don't know how many people think that Tennessee has a chance, but do you give him any type of pass for having about 16 players in quarantine?
No.
Pruitt?
Yeah.
What would it matter? We're going to get beat so bad anyway. I don't think there's a difference in a 45-point loss and a 30-point loss.
No, I mean, I know. I don't.
We've seen this team fully healthy pretty much for the most part.
Yeah, that's true. We've seen enough.
So.
And like I keep saying, it's going to be the theme of the week for me. You have a quarterback coming in here trying to win a Heisman.
Yeah.
And I'd imagine Dan Mullen doesn't really care for Jeremy Pruitt from his time at Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you know, he played Alabama.
Yeah, this could get ugly.
Probably doesn't care about him. Florida players still don't like Tennessee.
They're going to want to look good for the college football playoff.
They're going to want to look good for the college football playoff. And they're also needing to continue to play well because they got to play Alabama. Mm-hmm. Like, they're also trying to find themselves because they're trying to win the SEC. And then you got A&M. Obviously, we know, looking for style points. But Florida, if given the opportunity, and I do think they are going to have the opportunity, will want to dominate Tennessee. Tennessee head football coach Jeremy Pruitt apparently said, Florida's offense is as good as any in college football. Yeah, that's problematic.
Yeah.
Especially when you look and see they got a two-star quarterback. This is what having an offensive coach will do for you.
At least we know he's not blind. That's for sure.
That's good. He's not blind. He's also going to talk them up really good this week. That way that maybe Dan Mullen shows some mercy. He's going to try to convince us that we're playing the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. There's nothing my defense could have done. They got Kyle Trask, man. That's Patrick Mahomes over there.
He's got buttered Dan up. Yeah. I love those Jordans, Dan.
Dan Mullen is the best so offensive coach in the league. That's what I would be saying. Dan Mullen is the best offensive coach in the country if I was Jeremy Pruitt this week. I would be buttering him up. This team's already done enough to get in the playoff. Whether or not they win or lose another game is what I would say. This team's one of the best four teams in the country. Dan Mullen for Coach of the Year. Kyle Trask is the Heisman.
We're just going to protect our boys this weekend. There's not really a chance.
Well,
it's going to get ugly, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that.
You're starting to think it?
Yeah.
That's good.
Leaning that way.
Yeah.
2 weeks till Tennessee basketball, though.
Woohoo.
Let's go. Maybe.
Maybe.
We slid in the rankings of spot because we didn't play.
We dropped a spot in the rankings.
The disrespect.
We dropped a spot in the rankings.
Mm.
Pitiful. Unbelievable. Winners and losers of the weekend coming up next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Winners and losers. Today is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. You can be a winner on FanDuel. Place your first bet risk-free. Get back $1,000 if you don't win, up to $1,000. They'll match your bet. You don't just get, you can't bet 50 and win 1,000. Let me try that again. Place your first bet and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. No strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit so you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, a generous risk-free bet is just the beginning. They're always offering nice odds boosts. A same-game parlay reimbursement. I like checking out the boost myself. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use the promo code TALKSPORTS to give us credit for it. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Hayden, please hit the music.
Winners and losers, winners and losers, winners and losers, winners and losers.
Winners and losers. Cam, who do you got? Who won this weekend?
My number three winner of the weekend, I gave it to Nicholas Batum. He has gotten out of Charlotte, and he gets to go play with one of the L.A. teams and help them try and win a championship.
And he got paid.
And he gets that money still. Gets waived, gets to go sign with the team of his choice, and he went with the Clippers. To help them out over there with their depth over there. But, yeah, I think that's a win for him getting out of Charlotte. Charlotte, you know, just signed Gordon Hayward. I think they finalized that sign and trade this past weekend, too. So, yeah, Batum got out there with his money. He secured the bag and headed for L.A. So he is my number three winner of the weekend. My number two winner of the weekend, I gave it to Vanderbilt just because, all right, you made history. You also got rid of your coach. There you go. You won.
How do you think Vanderbilt fans feel, though? You think they're embarrassed by like playing a woman kicker? Like, I'm sure some of them are like, "Hey, it's cool," and others are probably just like, "This is just not." It just seems like I don't want when I think of Vanderbilt football, I think about a woman kicker.
Yeah.
Like nothing. No disrespect against a woman. I'm just saying, like, I don't know if I want that to be what I think of whenever people think about my
first thing popping. Not like national titles. Just they had that girl that kicked that one time.
It also felt like a distraction from like the fact that they are just so terrible.
Exactly. So
winless.
It gave him a little escape.
It wasn't a distraction. It was a magnifying glass.
Yeah, put it right down the display.
It was a look at this, everybody. They're playing a woman kicker as they can't get into field goal range and get beat 41 to nothing.
It was a nice domino effect leading to their coach getting fired and then being able to kind of start over there. So
it is always nice to have a coaching search going on there.
Yeah, so I think they are winners for that. And my number one winner of the weekend, I gave it to Jarrett Patterson, the running back at Buffalo.
Wow.
Holy cow, this man is a monster. Second game in a row where he rushed for over 300 yards. Well, in this one, he went for 400. He rushed for 409 yards in this game and also had 8 touchdowns.
Did I see that he's had like 790 yards and 12 touchdowns the last 2 weeks, I think?
Yeah, because he had 300 the week before. I mean, yeah, he dropped 409 this week, putting him up to, what did they play, four games, somewhere in there, and he is at 900 yards already, 920 yards on the season, 16 touchdowns.
Got shut down those other games.
Yeah, he had one game where he didn't get 100 yards. Wow. Miami, Ohio should be patting themselves on the back for holding him to 73 yards and 3.7 yards a carry, because every other team has not held him under 6.9 yards a carry.
I'd like to know if he was tired after the game.
He's had 2 touchdowns in every game this season.
I wonder how he felt.
Yeah, imagine he's awesome. Still fresh.
He got me. He had 36 carries. 36.
Or was he just on a high, like, hey, I'm the man?
Yeah, 11 yards a carry. Like, you just hand it to him, first down at least.
Let's give a shout-out to that offensive line as well. The offensive line is up and in the hole. Come on. You can't sit there and talk about
their
running back over 400 yards.
One of their interior linemen was number 2 on the Pro Football Focus rated lineman this week. So, hey, they helped him out. But, yeah, that game was crazy. 70-41, but 8 touchdowns. Man is a monster. He was already an NFL prospect, but I think he's really helping his case right now. So, Jarrett Patterson is a winner, tying the NCAA record for touchdowns.
Yeah, my winners list, I don't know if I was just unplugged or if I just wasn't paying attention to enough winners. I went heavy on the boxing event. Number 3 for me, I gave it a tie to Jake Paul and Mike Tyson.
Okay.
The 2 best boxing performances we've seen all year. Jake Paul knocking out Nate Robinson and Mike Tyson, you know, over the age of 50, smoking some weed and going out there and still having some hands. Although, they called that a draw, and that was stupid. He won all 8 rounds. Although, if you were betting on that, you're also stupid, so you got what you deserve. But Jake Paul, apparently got some hands. Mike Tyson, still got it. I would watch Mike Tyson fight somebody else. Like a real fight, though. Not like a sparring thing. Let's get a real fight going in, Mike. Number 2, I'll say that same event. I thought Snoop Dogg was a really big winner. Snoop Dogg doing sporting events is what we need. Just put Snoop Dogg on the commentary. He was great doing boxing. Had a couple funny lines. I like to see him do, let's get him in basketball. Let's get him in the NBA. If Ice Cube brings back the Big 3 tournament, let Snoop Dogg do the color commentary.
Oh, please, please.
Snoop Dogg's career renaissance is always so funny to me. Like, to go from like a murder charge, being on trial for murder, to now being like everyone's like favorite uncle that just kind of gets to do whatever he wants. They get to do a cooking show with Martha Stewart where they smoke weed and cook.
That show's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love it. It always amazes me.
Martha with her street cred. Everybody forgets.
But Uncle Snoop, my second biggest friend of the weekend. And number 1, I went with the combo. Tyreek Hill, 270 yards in a game. Dominant. And King Henry, 140 yards in the first half, 3 touchdowns. I would have liked that game to have been a little bit closer so he could have gone for 200 yards, but they kind of were able to take the foot off the gas, put the backups in. But just another reminder to bow to the king. Take that, Colts. Take that. You like it? Does it feel good? Does it taste good? Does it hurt your tummy?
If we just would have had DeForest Buckner, he only would have had 120 yards and 3 touchdowns. If only we had DeForest Buckner, it wouldn't have been like that at all. The COVID. It's the COVID's fault that we got dominated. I miss Peyton. Where's Peyton and Andrew Luck? I had 2 generational quarterbacks and only have 1 Super Bowl to show for it. All we do is underachieve, except that 1 year we got to play Rex Grossman. Thank God we got to play Rex Grossman. Otherwise, we'd have 0 Super Bowls. Hey, remember when we lost in the AFC playoffs to Mark Sanchez? Oh. Remember when Mark Sanchez knocked us out? But we didn't have DeForest Buckner. It doesn't count. Give us DeForest Buckner. We had the COVID. Darius Slater can't do it all by himself. Did you know that we had a couple injuries?
Bow to your king. All hell. King Henry. Him and Tyreek Hill, my biggest winners of the weekend. Cameron, who do you think lost this weekend?
I had to go with a couple of high-ranked Big Ten teams, Indiana and Northwestern. Northwestern, of course, got upset by Michigan State wearing some of the worst uniforms I've seen. So just a bad look all around for them there. Even Indiana losing their quarterback for the rest of the year. They've already been having a historic level year for them, and that's just a rough blow to them. I hate it for Penix Jr. as well. So tough for those two Big Ten teams. My number two loser of the weekend, I had to give it to Kentucky just because it's always funny when Kentucky loses basketball games, and they got beat by Richmond. So, like making fun of them, so I made them a loser. You're a loser, Kentucky. We'll see you later in the year, and then you'll also be a loser. So,
I will say that, like, I'm not going to dance on Kentucky's grave. I feel like they do this every year. Yeah. I feel like the best bet, I didn't remember to do it, but I feel like every year you should just bet against Kentucky.
Richmond
the first,
was
like, 2 weeks of the season, sprinkle some on the big money lines because they're going to be overvalued because they're going to be a top-five team, but they're going to lose early in the season.
Take the Richmond spread.
What was the money line? What was the spread?
Richmond was a quality team.
It was like plus eight, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was somewhere in there. Yeah.
So you probably got like close to plus 300 on the money line, though, right?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. But
Richmond and Western Kentucky are like two of the best.
Yeah, I know teams. Both of those teams are going to be good. They're both top 25 teams, but like they're better than Kentucky. Like right now, they have more experience and ready to go. Now, I do think Calipari will get his team ready to go because that's what he's done every year at Kentucky except one. Is that 2013? And 13 where he just...
Their best player get hurt, too.
Good win for Richmond and suck it, Kentucky.
I mean, I feel like that strategy does work, though. I mean, they lost to Evansville last year, and I'm pretty sure Evansville went 0-18 in conference. So it's not even good teams they lose to. They just lose sometimes.
Didn't Evans about to fire their coach right after that, though?
I think they had to fire
their coach right after he beat Kentucky for, like, a sex scandal.
Yeah.
I think there was a sex scandal at Evansville where you beat Kentucky, you're on top of the world. Maybe that contributed to the sex scandal, but I believe he then got fired. But, yeah, every year except one, they've figured it out and, you know, become a good team. So I'm not going to dance on their graves yet. But it is nice to see them lose. Go ahead, Cameron. Was that your biggest loser of the weekend?
That was my second biggest. Yeah. My biggest loser of the weekend was Nate Robinson. Jeez, man, like. He's talking all this stuff. He's like, oh, I'm doing this for my family. I'm doing it for the NBA show. We are the athletes. And goes and gets slept. Oh, my. It was embarrassing. Man, it looked like he had never, not even fake fought anybody in his life. He looked like he had never done anything in his life. He was just out there just, it was embarrassing. It's not a good look. Big L for the culture. the picture of somebody's like, oh, this is going to be in Cracker Barrels everywhere. It's the funniest thing of Jake Ball just standing over Nate Robinson like, man, not a good look for the culture. Everybody usually hates these Paul kids too just because they're annoying, absurd YouTubers. And Nate Robinson gets, just embarrassing. He was getting clowned on Twitter too. I think that's another reason that he's just such a big loser is he was just getting hammered on Twitter. It was insane. But, yeah, Nate Robinson, easily my biggest loser of the weekend.
Yeah. He's my number one, too, just for the record. It's impossible to have a bigger loser. I do feel bad for him, though. I hope someone checks on him. That has to be bad to be the you don't want to be the star on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be the guy that everyone talks about, especially when it's bad. And it's going to be that way for a while for him. Number three, I went with teams that were just in contention for a wild card spot, feeling good that are now maybe seeing that slip away.
Oh, yeah.
I went with the Raiders and Cardinals. Both had bad losses. Raiders got punked by the Falcons. Cardinals let Cam Newton throw for 80 yards and beat them. Mm-hmm. That is embarrassing. Number two, I went with top 10 college basketball teams. Over the weekend, we had a couple upsets. You already mentioned Kentucky. Add Villanova into that. Who did Villanova lose to?
Virginia Tech.
Yeah, Virginia Tech.
Right, yeah, that's right.
Virginia Tech started off hot. They're 3-0, and they are projected to finish 11th in the ACC this year.
Remember the little, Rick Barnes year two potential where they kind of were picked to finish dead near the bottom and
yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got a good coach. They got a good coach. He knows what he's doing. And then, yeah, Virginia gets beat by, what, San Francisco, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Just bad loss for Virginia. Top 10 teams went down. It might be I feel like college basketball has been crazy for a while, and I think it's just going to be another, you know, throw COVID on top of it. Like, the last couple years of college basketball has been pretty crazy, and then, yeah, throw another variable in there.
I mean, Virginia's always susceptible for that, like when they're running that pack line, that 50-point-a-game offense. Like, I feel like in college basketball it's pretty easy to get upset when you can only score 50 points max a game. And that's what it was. I think the final score was like 62, 60, something like that.
Well, I think they're just another situation, Hayden, where like Kentucky, where Bennett will get it figured out.
Yeah.
They'll get better. That's the thing about college basketball is upsets don't really matter until the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we'll just keep Kentucky off the one line, maybe. But, like, there's still plenty of time to fix that resume. But even if they're a two seed versus a one seed, they're going to go into that game feeling confident. Like, it's not that big of a difference. Same as Virginia. If they fix this defense and then run through the ACC, they'll be fine. And they usually run through the ACC. Number one biggest loser of the weekend, Nate Robinson, though.
It had to be him. It had to be him.
Anybody we missed? Anybody stand out to either one of you, Hayden or Draven?
I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean,
Oregon, maybe. Because
yeah,
of
Oregon. Oregon.
Jeez.
But,
Texas. Playing for much either
Texas
way.
Being back.
The backup quarterback for Oregon State getting that game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, I didn't see.
Oh,
it was pretty crazy ending.
Was it Syracuse that had the spike on fourth down this
week?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He should have been the loser. That guy's like a senior, too. Like, he's been playing there forever. Like, come on, man. Pull the Tom Brady in.
Maybe he was tired of playing. Maybe. Yeah. I've been playing forever. I'm over this game. Spike it. I'm done. I'm over it. Yeah, that was pretty bad, right? Shout out to Charles Barkley, though. I almost put him on my winner's list. He fixed that golf swing,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I didn't see any of that. How was that?
I mean, it was pretty good. It's one of those things where I wish I wouldn't have been taking like a break from gambling because like they had Steph Curry and Peyton as big favorites.
Yeah.
Big favorite.
And then I'm just like, why was this happening? Like, there's a professional golfer over there. Like, he's guaranteed to hit better shots than all these guys. Like, yeah. I know it's like alternate shot, but like, he's going to hit a good shot every time he hits.
Yeah, you just need Barkley to be competent. And I
get that Barkley usually isn't competent, but Barkley came out in the first tee box and like showed off a really improved swing and put two down the fairway on the first two holes. And they also let him play like some holes like 90 yards up, like 80 yards up or 60 yards up on the tees. Like, he was going to play from the closest tees, which I feel like it isn't very fair, but especially if he was going to be so improved. But shout out to Barkley. He's gotten bullied a long time for his shot, and he finally took that bullying and used it as motivation to actually improve and get better. So shout out to him.
Steph and Peyton played terrible.
Put Romo out there. Peyton sucked.
Yeah.
And Curry wasn't very good either.
They say Curry's like actually
Curry's supposed to be good, but
yeah,
he looked awful.
He was terrible.
Put Romo out there. That's what I want to see. Let's get a real golfer out there.
Let Snoop call it.
A real, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he got the call next time. Snoop's audition went well.
Yeah, Snoop's good.
Snoop's audition went well. He's just so smooth when he talks. He's a voice you want to hear from.
Get him on Monday Night Football. I'm tired of hearing Steve Levy. I want Snoop on there.
Yeah. That fight room was so dark, and he had those sunglasses on. Got on the game.
We know your eyes are red, Snoop.
Yeah, you don't got to hide it.
They've been red for 30 years, bro. We know. We know, and we love you for it. It's okay. Last call on the other side. Last call on the program. Let's play some Pump the Brakes. Let's keep it moving. Cam, what do you got for us?
I got Ain't No Fun When the Deer Got the Gun.
Oh, does a deer shoot somebody?
That's the coolest story I've ever heard in my entire life. That's insane. Can I hear it again? Do you have time?
The deer does not shoot somebody, but the deer steals a hunter's gun and flees into the woods.
Wait. Say that again.
A deer stole a hunter's gun and then fled into the woods.
How did a deer? Was it like on a backpack or something? He like picked it up with his horn.
Basically, got caught in the antler. So a hunter in the Czech Republic was charged by a deer while he was out hunting, obviously, and the deer charged him, and then the guy's gun got tangled in his antlers when the deer took off.
You guys remember the? You guys are probably too young for this. when I was younger, I was obsessed with this game. You ever the game where the deer's the hunter, like a computer game?
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
You were the deer hunting, like, humans?
No.
And you would put out traps for them, like you'd set beer out, and like, you know, like a dumb redneck would come, like, get the beer, and you'd shoot him. What was that game?
I don't remember what it was called.
You had to buy it. Deer Avenger was the name of the game.
Deer Avenger.
I remember playing this game so much as a kid. I loved it. Like 1998, 1999. You'd have to go like to the store and buy like the software and then upload it.
Well, this guy lost his gun. So the gun actually was unloaded at the time. He said one of his hunting dogs startled the deer, and then the deer charged him. The antler ripped his sleeve, got his .22 Hornet rifle, but he had like slung over his shoulder, and the deer just took off.
It's like Deer Avenger, man.
Yeah, and the police said there has been reports of people saying they've spotted a deer with a rifle in its antlers. So this guy. The most embarrassing thing I think for this guy is like it's required under law to like report missing rifles in the Czech Republic. So like he had to go tell the police like, yeah, a deer just stole my gun. But yeah,
they probably didn't believe them.
I know. Apparently, until the reports rolled in.
Apparently in Deer Avenger 4, the rednecks try to strike back, and it's more of a walk around. It's got more of like a
four-part series to this.
It was a fun game, bro. It was a fun game. Apparently.
Yeah.
There's at least four of them.
How much did it cost, or was it free?
I don't remember, bro. I was eight. My parents bought it. Like I wasn't ponying up for Deer Avenger, I wouldn't think.
1998, was that the original one?
I mean, I guess so.
Oh, you can download it. Let me see if I can download it real quick.
I'm going to guess it's probably not going to hold up. I'm going to guess it's not very good. Although I am curious to see what it looks like when you play it. Surely there's somebody in the audience who also played this, or maybe not, actually. Because I had forgotten all about it until we started talking about this. Plan to get Chicagoans out of the city. Help.
Okay.
Works, I guess. The state of Michigan offered people in Chicago $15,000 to move to the western part of Michigan. And so many people did it, they ran out of money in 2 weeks.
Oh. Nice.
They wanted them to move to Western Michigan. We had a story like this a couple weeks ago, right? Of some place trying to pay people to move there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to move to Northwest Arkansas.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Michigan did the same thing to Chicagoans and gave out $15,000 cash to people. You also had to buy a home of at least $200,000 in like certain zip codes, you know, bring some money in. But then you had to become a full-time resident and certify that you will work remotely for a company outside the area if you're there. And, so many people did it that they had to shut it down. Would you do that? Would you move somewhere like that? I guess I don't really have anything.
Michigan, no.
A western part of the state, that wouldn't be bad, right? I mean, I'm sure it's I'm sure it's like rural and all that, but like I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, if I had to do that for Tennessee, I'd do it. I got family out there. I'd be cool.
Yeah, I'm talking about they send you like to like a desolate area though. Cuz that's going to be the stipulation like you're going out to the country.
That's where my grandma lives. Perfect. Let's do it.
Just imagine you're not in your grandma's town. This is probably not going to put you in grandma's town. Probably put you like in an abandoned a town that basically has absolutely nothing going on.
Yeah, I'd do that because then I could, you know, you could run the town pretty much.
You think that's what's going to happen? Okay.
Like you could start. You could be the like.
You're gonna take your $15,000 and start a business.
Yeah, invest.
Okay.
You could have the hottest spot in the whole city.
Fair enough.
Exactly. When you're the only spot, you're the hottest spot.
You're also the wackest spot. You ever think about that?
Fair enough.
I'm ready to get off the radio so we can go play some Deer Avenger.
No, I'm buying it on Amazon right now.
Deer Avenger 4.
Yeah, that's the one I'm buying.
The drive's up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.